What do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
Oh, what do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
Well, back to that, huh? I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know, what do you feel like doing tonight? Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
Let's go to movies.
Director!
This is a frightened city.
Wait for it! Director! Cut!
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for a new film talk show, Film Sociology, with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Hello, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org, and of course, we're available as a podcast. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Mark your calendars this Sunday at 1 o'clock at Easley Winery downtown. I'll be hosting a film discussion, so if you're getting up or you're coming home from church or doing whatever it is you do on Sundays, 1 o'clock until about 3, we'll be talking about scary movies, intentionally scary and unintentionally scary, some of which we might even talk about on today's show. Melissa Davis is our producer today. We're both a little bleary,
little
bleary-eyed over the last couple of weeks. At the time of this show, we have one last hour in our fall membership drive. So I think this is the last time I'm going to say this for a few months. 1-800-233-0020 or WFYI.org. Even after 6 o'clock, you can always contribute to support WFYI. But we're kind of glad it's over so we can return to our regularly scheduled radio lives like Film Sociology and the Monday through Friday shifts. Well, that's yours.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway. There are 7 films opening in Indianapolis this weekend.
Wow.
So not bad. Big shocker, of course, not screened for the press, Saw 6.
Darn.
Doesn't shock anybody. Tobin Bell still keeps showing up. I guess if you were Tobin Bell and you had an agent, you'd probably appear in those films.
I've heard actually on a different radio show.
great. Yes.
I heard a promo commercial for it. And it was like, the scariest Saw yet.
Well, of course it has to be the scariest. They can't advertise it as,
the suckiest Saw.
they can't go middle of the road Saw. They're not going to do that.
And the great acting of, that guy.
Well, usually they had like a couple names, Donnie Wahlberg or Cary Elwes, of course, was in the first one. So was Danny Glover. But, by the way, I still miss Shawnee Smith,
okay.
But for different reasons. I don't even know who's in this one except Tobin Bell. You know what? I'm looking for films I'm looking for non-Saw films starring Tobin Bell at this point. But, who am I to say? But that's opening. The Coen Brothers' new film, Serious Man, which I'm actually excited about. The Jane Campion film, Bright Star, which Heartland got to show. So hopefully I can catch up on that. The animated feature, Astro Boy. If a certain somebody sees the trailer again, I'll probably have to go see that one. Cirque du Freak, The Vampire's Assistant, with
John C.
Reilly,
yeah.
Ken Watanabe, Salma Hayek. Next week is Halloween, so I guess that fits. Good Hair, the documentary from Chris Rock about black women's hair. I'm fascinated.
Uh-huh.
I really am.
Because
I know that's a whole different world that's unlike the one you and I are involved in. And yes, I understand that this hair is really expensive and you're not supposed to touch it when you're being with somebody. So, yeah, that's a fascinating world. So I'm open to check that out. But what did I see? I did see the big budgeted biopic Amelia with Hilary Swank as Amelia Earhart, Richard Gere and Ewan McGregor in this as well. It's directed by Mira Nair, who gave us Mississippi Masala, Monsoon Wedding, Kama Sutra.
Right?
No. No, that was another female Indian director. But not bad. But good guess.
Oh yeah.
At least she didn't say whatever. They all direct the same.
Right.
So no. But anyway, here's a clip.
When I was a little girl, I'd spend hours just dreaming that someday I would go to strange, faraway places.
Miss Amelia Earhart.
Why do you want to fly?
I want to be free. I'm going to fly around the world.
It can't be done.
Well, let's change that.
If you do make it, you will be the first.
I'm a flyer pursuing my passion for the fun of it. There's more to life than being a passenger.
Everything about you is a menace.
Spoken by a man who should know.
Lots of people are quite taken with you.
How can I lose?
If you miss this island, you're out of fuel with 2,000 miles to go.
I understand the danger. I can handle it.
You wouldn't sell a salesman, would you?
No one has made it.
I will.
Did you receive transmission?
I'll make it. I know I will.
I'll go tell the world you're on your way.
So I'm wondering if this film does well, if Hilary Swank will finally do the biopic I want to see, The Cat Cora Story. You fans of Iron Chef America and Food Network, I tell you what, you do a Google image, Miss Producer Lady, and tell me that wouldn't happen.
Okay.
Or at least
maybe
it shouldn't happen.
What's your name, Cat Cora?
Yes, CatCora. I know you don't watch any. I'm the token Food Network person around here. So there. Of course, I'm also the same person that wants to see Jane Lynch in the Candace Olsen story. You can do that search next. Yeah, you got nothing else to do for the next 50 minutes or
I've
so.
Got Bruce Springsteen is coming up for some reason. Oh,
what?
She's an Iron Chef. Is that it?
Yeah, she's an Iron Chef.
I see.
How did
I don't know. Bruce Springsteen.
How did you write Cat Cora and Bruce Springsteen comes up?
I have no idea. I don't know.
I'll tell you what. I'll do the review. You work on the image.
I see her. Okay. Yes. Yes, I could see that.
All right. Thank you. See, I'm not totally crazy.
That resemblance.
A little bit. Very intense. And anyway. Well, Hilary Swank is also an executive producer on this, and obviously this was a pet project for her, and I say bully for her. It's nice to see her in another big picture again. I have to give credit to my good friend Laura Jansen. You know her as Laura from Chicago, who once told me, "I don't like biopics because they're movies about people." And what she meant by that is the generic biopic storyline, which sadly is what Amelia falls into. It does go back and forth from it starts with her at the beginning of the global flight, the around the world flight, and then it goes back in time to when she started and the first time she went across the Atlantic as a passenger, and then she went across the Atlantic as the pilot. Obviously, I didn't know that much that there were that many female pilots back then. After Amelia Earhart, there I guess the floodgates opened with lady pilots. So that part was interesting. And yes, I brought the children's film critic with me because, well, I didn't have a sitter.
No.
And she's heard me talk about Cat Cora and Hilary Swank, and there's flying sequences.
Right.
And she liked the flying sequences. In fact, she clutched to my arm anytime there was a scene of turbulence.
Aww.
Of course, we were also in the second row.
Oh my. So,
yeah, that's a long story. I didn't ask for those seats. Yeah, but as you could tell from the trailer, there's a lot of very earnest dialogue, and Richard Gere plays her husband/manager, and then Amelia falls for a young aviator businessman academic played by Ewan McGregor, who has a son. By the way, the son's going to grow up and become Gore Vidal.
Did this all really happen? So this
I believe
is all...
so. It's okay. based on two different books about Amelia Earhart, and every person I've talked to that's seen this film, or I've read or listened to, is saying maybe you should have stuck with just one source.
Yeah.
Yeah, the footage is fine. Swank is fine. You know, I think the big reason this is Hilary Swank. I like her as an actress. She picks parts that she wants to play. She hopefully will stop getting asked questions. I remember there was an interview, I think it was right after Boys Don't Cry, what Newsweek does their annual Oscar roundtable, and they were asking, you know, what's the dumbest question you've got? And hers was, when are you going to play somebody pretty?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I know. That's real. And by the way, if you do Google Images, yeah, if you do Google Images of Hilary Swank, there's some great looking shots of her in magazines. So that's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's and by the way, you know, say what you will about Pretty or Not, Million Dollar Baby and Boys Don't Cry, she has earrings for Oscars, or Oscars for earrings. So there. Two more than we have. So take that. Anyway, so yeah, if you're in the biopics, maybe you won't mind the kind of by-the-numbers script. And if you like Swank, definitely go check that out. But if you want something a little more challenging, and this is a bummer because I like Mira Nair. I like Mississippi Masala and Monsoon Wedding, which, by the way, just came out on DVD. The Criterion Collection, I should say, put out a new version of it. So there's chock full of commentaries and behind-the-scenes footage. And it's a gorgeous shot film, as well as her film version of the Kama Sutra and the Perez family with everyone's favorite Latino actors, Alfred Molina, Marissa Tomei, and Angelica Houston. I didn't make it. But for Swank and biopic fans only. Otherwise, here's my verdict on Amelia.
Otter, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
Could she get a nomination? Possibly. Possibly. I just got a bad feeling nobody's going to see this over the weekend. I got a feeling, and really I don't care about box office numbers. I truly don't, although it's become a part of the Monday news lexicon. But, you know, the film not screened for the press, I got a feeling it's going to make gobs of money.
Oh, they didn't. Oh.
No. Saw 6. I'm talking about this one. No, it'd be great if Bright Star or Serious Man, if a Coen Brothers film, but I don't
Is know. The 14-year-old kid going to go to Saw or Amelia? Yeah. They're going to go to Amelia, unfortunately. No, they're going to go to Saw in a perfect world.
In the bizarro world that is film sociology.
In the right world, yeah. No, they're going to go to Saw.
Amelia's going to make $150 million or what have you.
A bunch of 14-year-old kids on first dates. We're going to go see Amelia.
14-year-old girls. And by the way, I have to say, I was, even though we were, all right, I had Emma and I had a dinner party. Yes, Emma and I go to cocktail and dinner parties. And it was way up on Carmel, like 119th and Meridian.
Uh-huh.
And because of traffic, which we're still talking about, you know, hopefully they'll clean things up and everybody is okay at 465 and I-69. But we left 119th and Meridian at 6. And got to, and the screening was downtown, was at Circle Center. So we got down there about almost 7.
Oh,
it was like 10 to 7. I mean, it's also the 5 o'clock crowd.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any PR people, so it was kind of every person for themselves. But there were a few other girls of Emma's age there, which was kind of inspiring. And I was kind of dreading because I had teenage girls behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand people just go to see stuff for free because they can, whether they care about the subject matter or not. And if they don't, I'm afraid, you know, they're going to talk and text and blah, blah, blah. And I heard one of the teenage girls behind me say, I was about ready to cry.
Aww.
I don't know if this girl knew about the life of Amelia Earhart. Yeah, I had to explain the
I was going to say, how did Emma do with the ending?
I had to explain it. I had to explain it to her. She felt sad. She said she felt sad, but she also felt happy for Amelia as a pilot.
Right.
You know, and because girls can fly too.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that is okay. But yeah, Emma was just a little puzzled and a little bummed out that they never found her.
Mm-hmm.
So another chapter in the Going to the Movies with Emma book, which I should write someday if some publishing company will give me an advance. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Few other movie notes going around town as I quickly. And by the way, I want to remind you, I'm going to be at Easley Winery on Sunday at 1 o'clock to talk about scary movies, both, you know, what are actually scary movies and truly terrifying movies, one of which comes out on DVD this week. But I want to say thank you to Kathy Keitlinger and the gang at the Indianapolis Star for putting yours truly's non-bearded mugshot in the paper. Page 22 of the Go section. Yeah, so it's nice. I'll admit it. Anytime the Nuvo guy's in the star, I get giddy about that. So anyway, but thank you to the star for doing that. This weekend, now granted the weather is not that best, but this is the season-ending weekend at the Tibbs Drive-In.
Oh.
I got to try again. One of the things on my to-do list, which I want to do with the family, is take the family to a drive-in, and I need to try it again next season.
Have you ever, you've never done that before?
Not with them.
Really?
Oh, not with them.
It's so much fun.
I know. I would love to take, mm-hmm. Because I'm going to wait till Emma falls asleep and then Lynn can smack my wrist all for the rest of the evening. But we eventually will do this. This weekend, oh boy. Well, I guess you don't go for the Jane Campion and Coen Brother films at the drive-in. That's what we got to open. We got to open an arty drive-in.
Artistic drive-in.
So they're showing, Law Abiding Citizen and Pandorum.
Hmm.
The Dennis Quaid sci-fi thriller. They also didn't screen for the press. Big shock. The 2D version of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Oh, I see.
And All About Steve.
Who's Steve?
That's the Sandra Bullock romantic comedy with one of the guys from The Hangover.
Really?
I guess they're assuming your kid's going to be asleep by the time that comes
about. All About Steve.
Yeah,
it's an interesting title.
All About Steve?
I don't want to know about Steve.
I don't know
who Steve is.
You want to know about Steve?
Sure. Well, no.
All About Eve is a great film.
No, you think you could get a better name, like All About
Abdul.
Thad? Like a cool name.
Like a frat guy?
I don't want to know about Steve.
Demetrius. About Demetrius.
Yeah, there you go. You need something catchy.
You know what? Because that would scare people in middle America. Yeah.
We name our cat Steve, you know?
Is it about your cat?
Yes.
Now, if Sandra Bullock was chasing your cat, I would actually say that.
That would be
interesting. And there's no slang in that whatsoever, people. I'm talking about an actual feline. Get over it.
That would be an interesting movie.
See, I think so, too. But apparently, I don't know anybody who saw this. This might come out on video by the end of the year.
I haven't even heard of it.
Well, I think the 20th Century Fox put it out. I'm going to guess and say that they opened it sooner than they thought because of the success of The Proposal.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you could take your kids to the Cloudy with Meatballs.
That's true. So I love meatballs.
It's a good family flick.
Also, next weekend, this is perfect. The combination of Zombieland and Stepfather.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, that's a double bill.
I have to say, making a horror movie about a stepfather is a very good idea.
Well, and this is a remake. Terry O'Quinn is the original, and this was done in 1987. Yeah. And I knew this before the article. The Onion did a piece on it last week in their new cult canon. But it's kind of a cult favorite because the stepdad, is hammering away at the wonders of Reaganomics. And as we find out, I'm not giving much away, he's really a psychotic killer.
Right.
So
How do they update that? Have you seen it yet?
No, they didn't screen it for the press. Keep screening stuff for the press, please. Yeah. But this is one they did. I think there's a lot of horror films. They just know their base audience is going to come and see it regardless. Like The Sheep that go see Saw 6.
Oh, no. But I heard Zombieland was good.
Love Zombieland.
Yeah.
Really, really, really liked it, I should say. Not love it, but really, really liked it. And then the last double bill at the Tibbs Drive-In, Whip It and Love Happens.
I'd see Whip It.
Love Happens. Because I already saw it.
What's Love Happens?
Love Happens is the one with Jennifer Aniston and Aaron Eckhart. Yeah, for the record, Melissa just shuddered. like somebody dropped ice down her back. Yeah, because you know what? A girl empowerment film about roller derby and a really schmaltzy romantic drama.
Odd combination, yeah.
Well, I guess the drive-ins, you get odd combinations.
Well, the drive-ins, they probably, girls. This is movies for girls.
There are girls
in it. So they just throw
them
together. Yeah.
It's on film.
But I would like to see Whip It. I've heard good things.
You should.
About that.
I'm surprised you
have. I've heard
haven't.
Good and bad. Well, I never go to the movies.
Go out with get a girls' night out.
We'll see.
You and Rox and other people that don't work at the station.
I'll wait till it's like a dollar at Greenwood or Washington Square.
Oh, you don't want to go to the dollar.
That's what I like. That's
really?
What I like. Yeah.
Is the business good?
It's fine.
Are the crowds obnoxious?
It's fine. You can sneak in soda and candies.
Which we do not endorse. Because as you know, all the money goes into concessions.
I never do that.
Never.
Actually.
I'm really
just joking about that completely and totally. But that's what I like to do. I like to spend a dollar.
I love the fact that you can't say that with a straight face.
I like to spend a dollar and then watch my movie.
That's right. Do you cough before you open a can?
Yes. I'm
glad to know guys aren't. Oh, jeez. I'm glad to know guys aren't the only ones that do that. I don't do that anymore. Let's see. Also, at IMAX, of course, downtown at the Indiana State Museum, there is Ghost Stories 3 in Central State, along with Haunted Castle in 3D, and Dinosaurs Alive 3D, and, of course, Lewis and Clark, Great Journey West. I got to bring this up, because anytime I can mix the theater and the live stage and theater. The Artist Studio up in Fishers, they're doing the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, cool.
And they're moving it the next 3 weeks to the Athenaeum stage, which is 401 East Michigan Street. It used to be American Cabaret Theater. And my friend Brent Marty, I think, is playing Dr. Frankenfurter again. So take that. And Tim Spradlin has a show at Unity Church on Saturday evening, and it's called Music and Movies. And he's going to be playing I'm not going to say anything, but these are songs that it's music from the movies like Love Story, 9 to 5.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Fame.
It'll be fun.
Yes.
Sounds fun.
Singing in the Rain and a few others. Mm. So there, Jeff Kunkel's on piano. Claire Cassidy will be singing as well. So that's pretty fun. And, oh my goodness, and as if all of this wasn't enough, this weekend, if you head to the Art Craft Theater in Franklin, this is tonight at 7:30. And tomorrow night, where are the times? Tomorrow night at, oh yeah, just 7:30, $5, Young Frankenstein.
Oh, cool.
Which was one of the first films I remember seeing as a kid. That was 1975.
Wow.
And great comedy. Great. In fact, I got a feeling we might be watching that next week for Halloween.
Oh.
Remember the week before Emma started school, we watched it in Spanish because she takes Spanish classes. By the way, when you listen to Young Frankenstein in Spanish, it's still Frau Blücher. You know. That's
great.
So there's your Spanish to German information right there.
Now, do people throw things at the live version of Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I believe they do, but you have to. No. Now, listen. But within reason.
Right.
I want to double check. I would say call the theater and double check. Because I remember in the 80s as a teenager that they would show Rocky Horror. And I performed Rocky Horror for a while. I was Riff Raff. I was much thinner then. there were movie theaters in my hometown of Flint that would show it. And it wound up they would only show it once because we would bring in stuff that really had nothing to do with the movie.
Oh, okay.
We brought in hot dogs and toast and water balloons and rice and newspapers. But I remember somebody, not me, not any of my friends, brought a plastic water Uzi and filled it with chocolate syrup.
Ew.
Yeah, and then I remember somebody else brought raw eggs and
Ew.
Would throw them on top of the ceiling.
Oh my gosh.
You know, because so you have that delayed reaction when you chuck it up to the ceiling.
Right.
4, 3. Oh. Hey man, only stuff we can't say on the air. So. Oh.
So throwing, like, the toast at the live version,
yeah,
a live stage
I think that would happen.
Play,
I think that would,
okay.
Yeah, I believe that would happen. Call the theater and double check. I'm just saying, I don't want anybody bringing a whole bunch of props going, Matt Sosa said you could throw stuff. And don't throw stuff at Brent. You'll mess up his hair. All right. Also, finishing up this weekend is the Heartland Film Festival. And tomorrow night is The Horse Boy, which is a closing film, the documentary about a boy who's ill, and he finds comfort in hanging out with horses. No, it's not The Horse Whisperer, but you can definitely check that out, as well as some of the award-winning films. So you can go to heartlandfilmfestival.org. And a couple films I wanted to bring up, probably the best of the lot I got to see besides the animated feature, was a documentary called P-Star Rising. And this was a documentary about a 9-year-old Latina rapper in New York City, and her dad, who was once an up-and-coming rap artist and just kind of got swallowed up in the business and kind of put all of his energy into his daughter's work. And it's kind of anti-Cyrus because they sign a deal, deals are made, deals are broken. It's not as glamorous as, say, Hannah Montana. And as a dad with a daughter who is interested in show business, it was at times a good what not to do, intentionally or unintentionally, with this film. But it's fascinating to watch these two people work together. And I think the film, which is now the official animated short of Film Sociology, is the film Chicken Cowboy. We, of course, had Stephen Neary on the show last week, which my beloved producer referred to as the greatest guest ever on Film Sociology. It was very nice.
Well, he was really cool, and it's really inspiring to see someone from indie doing so well and pursuing their dreams and really making it. So it's really cool.
And putting up with our Wonder Pets references.
Yeah, and he didn't flinch about it. He was cool.
He was very cool about it. So with that in mind, and I encourage you to go to Steven's website instead of, say, YouTube, so you can, you know, help a young lad out. But I love the fact that I found a trailer. I found a one-minute trailer for a six-minute animated short. And, Steven, this is for you. And for you, Melissa.
Hi. I'll have, can I have a pint of birdseed?
Give the new sheriff his badge. I want to speak on a stick. Hey, mister. Are you trying to die like a man?
Nope. I'm trying to live like a chicken. Fight? I don't want to fight anybody.
So there you go.
Flap, flap, flap.
Flap, flap, flap. Love that. And I love the fact that I was gushing over his film, and he just went, well, that's for, and, you know, comparing it to the spaghetti westerns of the 60s, and these Anthony Mann directed westerns of the 50s. And he went, well, that's nice of you to read into that. I just wanted to make a cartoon about a chicken cowboy.
Like, I was just tired of the Wonder Pets.
I guess. But he did know Heaven's Gate. So anytime, but I've an open door policy for Steven. Anytime he's in Indianapolis, he is welcome here at Film Sociology. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about one of the scariest films of the year out on DVD. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis, and we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows as voted on by music journalists across the city and our On Track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Mark your calendars this Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock at Eastley Winery. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's 205 North College Avenue. I'll be hosting a discussion of scary movies, intentionally scary and unintentionally scary. Why not? So anyway, that's from 1 to 3. You can call 636-4516 or go to EastleyWinery.com, EastleyWinery. .com for more information. That's going to be a lot of fun. And special thanks to Meredith Easley and the gang at Easley Winery, as well as Joe Vuskovich and the gang at Yats for helping provide refreshments for last week's Blues House Party show. Much appreciated. The wine went quickly. Not by me, of course. And speaking of scary films, I talked about intentionally scary and unintentionally scary. One of the scariest films of the year is out on DVD this week. And yeah, it made a gob of money despite everybody's wishes. And it's the sequel to Transformers. And I would, you know what? We would play the trailer for you, but I remember playing the trailer when it opened. And it's 2.5 minutes of very, it's exactly like that. It's a 20 something girl making pterodactyl 20 noises.
20 something, thanks.
I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. Yay. So I know you just had a change in decade.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever. But no, it's just a lot of noise and explosions and Megan Fox not saying anything. You know, one of our finest actresses on mute. I have to admit, I actually like the first Transformers because the first half of it is a boy and his robot. A boy, you know, trying to keep it home and making sure it doesn't get into trouble. It's when it becomes kind of serious near the end and you have fight scenes that I can't see because you have too many close-ups. The biggest sin for Transformers for me is not so much that it's a sequel to a movie based on a toy. By the way, Hasbro still has a credit in the film, which cracks me up a great deal. But this is from director Michael Bay, who also gave us Bad Boy 2. This film follows the exact same script format as Bad Boys 2. Which I remember when that came out, made my worst 10 list. Wasn't the worst film of the year. And is this the worst film of the year? We still got a few months to go. But the first third of the film, and this film's like 2:30, which is really longer than a toy robot
That's
movie really needs to be. Well, if you're 14, apparently this is an epic for you. But the first third of it is getting to reintroducing yourself to all the characters, Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox in her tight clothes and dead eyes. And by the way, yeah, as a guy, my wife points out when people on TV have dead eyes, meaning there's nothing in between, nothing inside there. And I can see that with Miss Fox. She's fun to look at, and I'll be the first pig to admit that. But not a whole lot there.
Looks like she's got something kind of crazy going on.
Well, maybe. I hadn't seen Jennifer's body, so we'll see about
well, she's
that.
She's got, in real life, she has all the weird tattoos and all the weird stuff going on.
Yeah, I'm not going to start critiquing, but yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Who cares?
Okay, fine. But anyway, first third of the film is reintroducing everybody. Second third of the film, everybody's a comedian. Everybody has a joke, not just John Turturro and the actors who play Shia LaBeouf's parents, who, by the way, show up in the last third of the film for real no reason whatsoever. But you also have robots, well, let's put it this way. I don't think a robot really needs to have a gold tooth and talk like Flavor Flav. I'm not kidding. And, you know, the Amos and Andy bots, as I call them on this station and on another station. I don't need shucking and jive robots, really. And I don't need a robot with a swinging, how should I put this? Well, with a swinging pair. I don't need to see that. Nobody really needs to see that. 14-year-old boys don't need to see that. And we don't need to see John Turturro in a thong either, unless you're Mrs. Turturro, but we're not. And then the last third of the film becomes super Michael Bay serious. I mean, like Pearl Harbor serious. It's ridiculous how earnest and how serious this film takes itself when it's based on a video game. So it's just way too long. And it was, you know, I at least waited until the last 20 minutes of the film before Megan Fox's clothing, you know, got dirty, soiled, not soiled, but, you know, tethered anyway. So with the DVD, I'm sure there's going to be lots of making behind the scenes and all the other commentaries. It's just a big waste. And, you know, we really, because of this, I wouldn't be surprised if a third one is made, and then there'll be other game movies based on toys of the 70s and 80s and other things. It was just, no, I don't need this. You don't need this. Nobody really needs this. This is what I think.
Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off!
Thank you, George. Also on DVD this week, something that's slightly better, although hardly anybody saw it, and that's kind of, so hopefully it'll get a bigger life on DVD. But it's the costume drama Cherie, which stars Michelle Pfeiffer, my movie queen, and my wife knows it, as an aging courtesan. Yes, we've reached a stage in life where Michelle Pfeiffer has the adjective aging for her characters. She's in it. Well, no, don't worry about it. She's, I mean, what, Michelle's 50 and still looks amazing.
Is she 50? Wow.
I think she's 50. And does not have, does not show signs of work being done. So thank you for that. But she plays an aging courtesan in early 20th century Paris. And she falls for a young boy, considerably younger than her, whose mother is a fellow courtesan played by Kathy Bates.
Ew.
No, don't ew Kathy. No.
I mean, okay.
Don't ew her.
No, I mean, like, she's an awesome actress.
You of all people.
She's an awesome actress, and I mean, I think she's great, but she's a
courtesan, yes. Okay. They of all shapes and sizes. All right. Did you wince during the big scene in About Schmidt?
I didn't see it.
You didn't?
No,
I'm all for Kathy about that. The more she can strut her stuff, I'm all for that.
All right, but,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I'm one of the few guys that did not make fun of the hot tub scene in About Schmidt.
Never, I don't,
It's a nude scene.
Oh, with Kathy Bates?
Yes!
Oh my.
Why not? If she can do it too.
Sure!
I just remember at the Academy Awards that year, Steve Martin was hosting, and he said, Jack Nicholson got a famous scene where he got to share a hot tub with Kathy Bates, and he goes, "Well, who hasn't?" And then they cut to her. I mean, she was genuinely shocked.
That's
and then
awesome.
She later had to present an award, and guys were giving her whistles and catcalls, and she finally just looked up at the audience, and went, "All right, knock it off."
Aww.
So bully for her.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, it's a mini reunion because this film stars Michelle Pfeiffer. It is written by Christopher Hampton and is directed by Stephen Frears, the actress, writer, and director of Dangerous Liaisons. Great film, which needs a two-disc special edition. Now that it's been over 20 years, still waiting, folks. I'll buy it. So will others. But the main story about it is, I guess the theme of the film is courtesans have feelings, too.
Aww.
It's not just the hooker with a heart of gold. Like Leaving Las Vegas and many other cliche titles. Leaving Las Vegas not being one of them. But it's really Michelle Pfeiffer's best work in a long time. Now, granted, she hasn't been working as much. I know she's been taking care of her children and being married to David Kelly, one of the luckiest bastards on the face of the earth. But films, this is much better than some more recent work like Stardust and White Oleander. And White Oleander, where she was the most beautiful woman sent to prison ever. Period. Should have been called Beautiful Woman Walking. But this is another film. I think it could get a nomination for her, and I think she would deserve it. It's a really good role. It's not just the blonde ice queen that Michelle has also been known to do in the late 80s, early 90s. So, and no, I'm not going to complain that she didn't get an Oscar nomination for Batman Returns. I'm goofy, but I'm not silly. But hopefully more people will check out Sherry. I think it only lasted a couple of weeks here in Indianapolis. So hopefully it'll get a bigger life on DVD. So this is my say on this.
Now that was a good movie.
It was, and it looks great. The masterpiece theater foreign film types. So, okay. Well, it's time for that part of the show where I give you some other DVD release news and the immortal question, if you owned a Blu-ray. So, but first, some of the other titles that are coming out on DVD. Sony is putting out the William Castle Film Collection for you horror movie fans, since next week is Halloween. Do you know who William Castle is?
Yes. No. I want to sound really smart.
Okay.
I know who he is.
These are some of the films that are in this collection. 13 Frightened Girls, the original 13 Ghost, not the bad remake with Matthew Lillard and Shannon Elizabeth, Homicidal, Straight Jacket, a 60s horror movie with Joan Crawford, Old Dark House, Mr. Sardonicus, The Tingler with Vincent Price. This was the one... And Zots with an exclamation point. The Tingler was the one. It was like 1956, and Vincent Price is a mad scientist, and he's doing, of course, mad scientist things. And the big publicity stunt was that some of the seats in the theater were wired up to electrodes, and they would get little tingles.
Yeah.
Shocks are actually more like it.
Right.
And that would be that's how intense the movie was, is that you got tingled.
Was that a Mystery Science Theater?
The Tingler, no, it was not.
Something about that.
Well, there was a film that came out in the 90s called Matinee with John Goodman and Kathy Moriarty, and it was about a William Castle-like filmmaker. Like he made the film Mant, half man, half ant, and Kathy Moriarty dressed up as a nurse. Always a good thing. And, you know, made you sign insurance forms in case you died while watching it. I mean, it was just the old gimmicky B-movie stuff. So, Matinee's on DVD. That could use a special edition treatment.
I
might be
totally
to
remember the... I never saw that, but I remember the promos for it.
There you go. No, no, well, that's a step up.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
BBC Warner. Well, this one's for Richard and for me. The Ultimate Edition Blackadder Remastered. I really like Blackadder. Bruce Springsteen DVD jukebox, because I can. Oh. The complete collection, even though I already own this, of Fawlty Towers. I'm assuming there's extra goodies on that one. Cool. Peanuts 1970s collection, volume 1.
Yay.
So it's got to be the football games, the first kiss, some of the non-holiday material. It's your first dance, Charlie Brown. It's your first kiss, Charlie Brown. He does kiss the redheaded girl. I remember that one.
There's an election. One is about an election.
I believe so. Yeah. Not the film election.
No.
No, that's a whole other.
Someone runs for president, doesn't he? I don't know. Yeah, who knows?
So anyway, those are
70s. Okay. They were so crazy. It's hard to remember, you know, what happened back then.
I did. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Here, what else is on Blu-ray? Ah, Easy Rider.
Oh.
You ever seen it?
Nope. Would I see it? Nope. Maybe I would. I don't know.
It's got old hippies in it.
Oh, wait, yeah. I would
see
that.
Peter Fonda, Dennis Hopper, Jack Nicholson. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Crisp Blu-ray edition? I guess. I like. Mm-hmm. It's a little dated, but it's you know, it's Dennis Hopper directing and really good music. Actually, it's got a really great score.
Yeah.
And when I was at Ball State, I created the Easy Rider drinking game. Every time Dennis Hopper said, man, it was quite heavy. As I said before, Monsoon Wedding has the Criterion Collection. And that's a gorgeous looking film about basically a traditional Indian wedding. That's pretty good. Apparently a special edition is coming out of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Cool.
Those aren't pillows.
No, no.
Not at all. So that's, and I knew that was a film you had seen.
Yeah.
On Blu-ray, Waterworld.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Nobody watched it the first time.
I saw it the first time.
Did you?
Kevin Costner drinks.
You have to.
I know. He drinks his own pee in this movie. Yeah. He's that cool. No, it's, I remember I was working, I was doing my Randall experience. I was working at a video store in Carroll Stream, Illinois, mm-hmm. and the boss wondered why there were so many boosts in rentals of the Road Warrior, and it's because I kept referring the Road Warrior to people over Waterworld, because that's pretty much what the story is.
Right. Oh.
And by the way, it's not the biggest flop in the world, because it did make money overseas.
Oh.
So, I mean, it did okay here in the States, but there was such bad press behind it, and fighting with Costner and director Kevin Reynolds, who, that's got to be a book someday. They have a love-hate relationship, because they keep working together, even though they haven't worked together in a while, but they work together on four films at least. Also on Blu-ray, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The original. When I get a Blu-ray player, certain somebody in my house will tell me, yes I will. All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we have to pay tributes. Tributes must be made, and hopefully these will be some center of the video store picks for you. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis, and we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows, as voted on by music journalists across the city, and our on-track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
What the heck is that?
That's the creepy music for Halloween.
Oh, but it's not from Halloween.
No. That's actually, that is space music from Echoes.
Oh, but not Hearts of Space.
No.
The show Echoes.
Yes,
which you can hear
actually
on WFYI HD2 The
HD2.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
When is that on?
That is on, it's different times, but it's on midnight to 2 a.m., I think. Or no, it starts at 11 p.m. until 1 a.m., overnights, every Monday through Friday, not Saturday, though.
What's on Saturday nights?
Saturday nights, we have a whole wide range of local programming.
Such as?
We have Blast from the Past, which is, and also Chris Phoenix has his hip-hop throwback show. So it either alternates between those two shows or my throwback show, Ladies Night. Which, yeah,
oh
that
my
airs,
gosh.
Which is great
and
bad.
What do you mean by, what do you mean great and bad? What do you play?
I play some really good stuff, but then at the same time, I'm gonna play the stuff that, like, you never thought you would hear again, but you're secretly dying to hear. Like, 9 to 5, and, like, Take Me Home by Cher, and all that great, corny, cheesy, wonderful music. But,
wow.
Yes, I play that. And then, yeah, Chris's show is awesome, actually.
Okay.
And Joe's show, A Blast from the Past, is fantastic. So we have great. And then Richard has his show, Velvet Escape.
Richard Miles, our boss.
Mm-hmm. Which it's That's a true. Kind of like a chill-out electronic show.
I did some voiceover work on it at one time, so
uh-huh.
That's cool.
It's on every week, and it airs from 11 to 1, I believe.
When in doubt, we'll just do the entire week of HD2.
A lot of people don't know.
Well, they should.
Yeah,
they
there's a lot of great programming on HD2.
And if you donated money, and if you donated enough money, you could get an HD radio and enjoy this at home. But anyway,
you
welcome
should.
Back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. I'm your host, Matthew Soci, along with the walking inside encyclopedia, HD2 encyclopedia, that is Melissa Davis.
That's all I know about.
That's
There's
not true.
Else.
You know a lot more.
No, that's all.
You know weird films from the 80s and 90s that I probably don't like.
And Golden Girls trivia.
Yes. Yeah. I apparently there's going to be a future show that involves Golden Girls trivia. I haven't figured that out yet. Let's put it this way. It's going to have to be a really slow film week before I bring that
People
on.
People love that. People love the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
But it's not a film.
No, I know, but I was told I was going to do some research on the films done by the four ladies, but I was told by a certain person that that's not really fair.
I think it's fair.
Well, if I know, well, I do too.
Because
anyway.
If you know about the girls, you know about their film is their films as well.
Well, that's what
filmses.
I say. Films, that's good. Keep pushing the board, dear.
Sure. But you have to know. I mean, Estelle Getty was in...
Save it. Because I got a feeling it's going to happen soon.
Okay.
We'll see. Hi, Christy. All right. Just a reminder, Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, I'll be hosting a film chat at Eastley Winery, which is at which is downtown, of course. That's 205 North College Avenue. That takes place at 1 o'clock. We'll talk about scary movies of all kinds. All right. I want to – there's a couple of obits I need to bring up to you. Yes, my Center of the Video Store picks are based on the films that these people are involved in. Actress Colin Wilcox Paxton, yes, not an everyday name, died this past week. She was 74, and I looked at some of her titles. One of her more recent films was a party goer in Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, the Clint Eastwood film with John Cusack and Kevin Spacey and Allison Eastwood. She was in Marie, the SpaceX drama. She was Dr. Elkins in Jaws 2. And she was in September 30th, 1955, which was the drama about the death of James Dean with Richard Thomas. The great 1970 dark comedy Catch 22. But she is best known as the actress who played Mayella Yule in the film version of To Kill a Mockingbird, the young girl who accuses Tom Robinson of rape and battery. Here's Colin Wilcox Paxton's big scene in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Weston. Sir, I was sitting on the porch and he come along. Well, there's this old shift robe in the yard. And I said, you come in here, boy, and bust up the shift robe, and I'll give you a nickel. So he come on in the yard, and I go in the house to get him the nickel. And I turn around, and before I know it, he's on me. And I fought and hollered, but he had me around the neck. And he hit me again and again. And the next thing I knew, Papa's in the room, a stand over me, hollering, who done it? Who done it?
Thank you, Mayella. Your witness, Evans.
Miss Naylor, is your father good to you? I mean, is he easy to get along with?
That's tolerable.
Except when he's drinking. When he's riled, has he ever beaten you?
My pa's never touched a hair on my head in my life.
Now you say that you asked Tom to come in and chop up a... what was it?
A chiffarole.
Was that the first time that you ever asked him to come inside the fence?
Yes.
Didn't you ever ask him to come inside the fence before?
I might have.
Well, can you remember any other occasion?
No.
You say he caught me, he choked me, and he took advantage of me. Is that right? Do you remember him beating you about the face?
No. I don't recollect if he hit me. I mean, yes, he hit me. He hit me.
Thank you. Now, will you identify the man who beat you?
Most certainly will. Sitting right yonder.
Tom, will you stand up, please? Let Miss Mayella have a good long look at you. Tom, will you catch this, please? Thank you. Now then, this time, will you please catch it with your left hand?
I can't, sir.
Why can't you?
I can't use my left hand at all. I got it caught in a cotton gin when I was 12 years old. All my muscles were tore loose.
Is this the man who raped you?
Well, certainly is.
How?
I don't know how. He done it. He just done it.
You have testified that he choked you and he beat you. You didn't say that he sneaked up behind you and knocked you out cold, but that you turned around and there he was. Do you want to tell us what really happened?
I got something to say. And then I ain't gonna say no more. He took advantage of me. And if you find Fancy Jim ain't gonna do nothing about it, then you're just a bunch of lousy, yellow, stinking cowards. The whole bunch of you. And your fancy airs don't come to nothing. Your mammon and your Miss May Ellen, it don't come to nothing, Mr. Finch.
There you go. That's a clip from To Kill a Mockingbird. Colin Wilcox Paxton, who played Mayella Yule, died this past week at the age of 74. Well done. That's a devastating scene. And hopefully
some acting.
Hopefully she had to do it in one take.
Some acting right there.
It is some acting right there. And by the way, Gregory Peck is amazing in that film. Well deserved the Oscar. Joseph Weissman also passed this week. He was the very first James Bond villain. He played Dr. No in 1962. Also appeared in films such as the 1947 version of Antony and Cleopatra, Joan of Lorraine, Detective Story. My goodness, he was in a stage adaptation of Judgment at Nuremberg. The Unforgiven, not the Clint Eastwood film, but the John Huston Western with Burt Lancaster and Audrey Hepburn. Also appeared in The Betsy, which is Get Drunk and Watch Bad Melodrama with a southern accent from Laurence Olivier and an incest subplot. The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz with a young Richard Dreyfuss. The Valachi Papers, which is actually a good drama starring Charles Bronson. Lawman, really good Western starring Burt Lancaster, and the comedy drama The Night They Raided Minsky's. But of course, Joseph Weissman, best known as Dr. No. And remind me to tell you my Jamaican story involving Dr. No and Ursula Andress on the beach.
Looking up a picture of him.
Some other time.
What's his last name again?
Weissman. Joseph Weissman. He's supposed to be Chinese, and he's not. He's an English actor. And by the way, there's a scene at the dinner table in Dr. No where he talks about his parents, which is straight out of, well, it was later parodied in Austin Powers when Dr. Evil talks about his parents.
Oh, yeah.
Which we can't talk about, really. Daniel Melnick.
I was going to do an impression.
All right, fine.
No, I can't remember it.
Daniel Melnick, a producer who gave us, who's a producer or executive producer on films like the great Sam Peckinpah drama Straw Dogs, the brilliant Sidney Lumet dark comedy Network, and of course the drama's Midnight Express. This is a film I'm looking for on DVD. It is on DVD. I just need to find it. The 1966 TV version of Death of a Salesman with Lee J. Cobb, George Segal, Gene Wilder as Bernard. George Segal plays Biff. Many say Lee J. Cobb, the definitive Willie Loman. Daniel Melnick also produced All That Jazz, Altered States, Making Love. Remind me to tell you the story about the film Making Love in the movie The Celluloid Closet. Footloose, a film I know Melissa's actually seen.
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Good for you. I don't like it either. Roxanne, Punchline,
seen that one.
And LA
Roxanne.
Story. So you've seen Daniel Melnick's
Roxanne.
Work. So thank
yeah.
you. That. A couple other minor notes. Vic Mizzi, who did the music for The Addams Family and Green Acres, also no longer with us, apparently had a movie or had a song which was in the DVD version of Spider-Man 2. Okay. And, of course, get a pie in the face and pay tribute to Soupy Sales. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. But don't send him money. He won't take it anymore.
He won't?
Well, he's dead.
Yeah.
No, famous story where he told kids to go into your parents' wallets or purses and take out the green pieces of paper with the president with the bearded faces on it and mail it to them.
What?
And according to legend, he got anywhere between $380,000.
Was he joking?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But kids
did. But they really did.
Yes, the power of chillin' Sullivan.
That's
this
awesome.
Is like when I saw Dora the Explorer live at the Mirage. This was, I think, Emma was maybe 3 or 4.
Uh-huh.
The actress playing Dora, which kind of creeped me out because she was probably 22 playing a 9-year-old, and she was pretty good looking. But she could have gone to the edge of the stage and said, kill your parents, and they would have.
They'd be like, woo!
Yeah, they have that much power. And then scream backpack as you're doing it. So you have to say backpack. I don't have to say squat.
Swipe or no swiping.
Yeah, by the way, that's how you stop a thief. Because a thief's going to go,
yeah, you
oh,
tell him
man.
Nicely. Swipe or no swipe. I have a friend who has 2 daughters that are young.
Do they do that?
No. They name their dog Swiper.
No.
Yes, which I think is
do
awesome.
They say that to him all the time?
I do.
Well, somebody, because our kitten is named Max, and I think it's based on
Max
the cartoon. Max and
yeah.
Ruby.
Which I used to call Max and the Lady. Sorry. That's a long story. Because when Tyler was a little boy, he would say the name of Max's babysitter.
Okay.
And I didn't know what he was saying. Ruby, right? And I thought was calling her Max and the Lady. So now he hates it because he's 12. And I'll say, we're going to watch Max and the Lady.
That's a sister.
Oh, it's a sister?
Yes.
Oh,
they're
this
siblings.
Whole time. I thought she was the babysitter.
Well, he kind of looks over. It's like an S.E. Hinton novel. There's no parents there.
Yeah, they're,
I mean, grandma lives there. Next door, but you know, social services isn't going to come and take Max and Ruby away because they live by themselves.
Yeah, I thought it was a babysitter.
No.
It was a babysitter.
No. Well, they does, but Anyway,
you've blown my mind now.
Well, good. That's why we're here. All right, don't forget, Sunday, 1 o'clock, Easley Winery, North College, 1 o'clock, Scary Movie Chat. Hope to see you there. Until next time, on behalf of Melissa Davis, I'm Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.